we all have it. We say amen. Titus 3, amen. Verses 3 through 5. Follow along, and it reads, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to us today about something that's very practical, but was truly kept secret. Practical, but truly kept secret. And I just want you to follow along with me again as I now read verses 3 through 5. And I want you to see how what I'm putting emphasis on. Our Apostle Paul, first of all, in verse 3, he's going to recognize who he was. And also for those of us who are now saved, who we were. Let's go to verse 3. And it reads, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Let's stop right there. You cannot find another man in the Word of God that connects his past with sin and sinful acts the way the Apostle Paul does. You can't read 1 Peter, you can't read John, you can't read Peter, you can't read Jude, you can't read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and find someone who is as repetitive as Paul is with his past and sin. No one always reminds the reader of who they once were. And then talks about these characteristics that they was once showing. Let's continue, verse 3. Sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. And I hope, you know, you got some type of emphasis on the we in verse 3 were. So Paul recognizing that he's no longer that, but at one time he had a connection to it. Let's go to verse 4. And this is what I want us to get. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Before I go into verse 5, let's talk about some details that's very huge in what we see in verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared toward man. Paul is about to share, has shared, and has revealed what we are going to be comparing some things today. This is a two, definitely, who knows, maybe even next two times I stand before you. But this message isn't going to be complete today because I want us to examine truly what is kindness, where did it come from, and to totally understand even this kindness that Paul is talking about was still kept secret before the world began. The Word of God will totally reveal everything that I'm talking about right now. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man, he said it appeared. So on our left, what we are going to do, I'm going to call this side, this is that, we're going to look at verses to remind us. This is that due time kindness. You're going to see verses that link the due time kindness. So we're going to compare spiritual things with spiritual. See, the attributes that we see on display today from God, Israel and in time past, they could not talk about the kindness and love of God the way you talk about the kindness and love of God. Paul
So I just ensued the kindness and love of God by talking about works that bad Israel would never have done. You talk about bad, sinful acts, and God showing kindness towards those in time past under the prophecy program who did bad and sinful acts. Only Paul talks this way. I don't want us to miss that. My understanding of kindness, I have to go deep. I need some hidden wisdom to even understand how I'm supposed to display. I got to understand how God displays. That's why I call it due time kindness. This, we just go with due time kindness, with the kindness, and it's also what? It's the love of God. And we're going to see what's connected with this, and we're going to compare it to all other scripture other than Pauline verses and see the similarities or the contrast. I repeat, this does something, and it esteems what was even kept secret. Because the big deal about this kindness, before Genesis 1 and 1, it was already planned. Before Adam and Eve ate from the tree that they was told not to, God already knew it was going to happen because he's the God of eternity, past, present, and future. Before that, he is looking to spread this type of kindness to the world, but only did it when it first. When it first appeared unto Paul. No one can talk about the kindness of God the way Paul talks about it. No one. You can't do it. Because it didn't appear to them the way that it appeared to Paul. It appeared to Paul when Paul remembered that he was once foolish, disobedient, when he was deceived. No one in the Bible talks about the kindness of God coming when they was in opposition against God the way Paul does. There's a level of gentleness, there's a level of kindness, there's a level of patience that sometimes we think we know that we just don't know. We just don't know it. Paul has to school me on how he was schooled by God in that hidden wisdom, in that kindness. Let's continue, saints. Verse 5. See, this kindness Paul means is going to say in verse 5, not by works of righteousness. The kindness that God extended to me, it wasn't because I talked to him in a way that he appreciated. It wasn't because I did something in a way that he applauded. I was in opposition against God, and his kindness came my way. When this appeared, we are going to see that this act of kindness was the official dispensation of the way Paul would say, totally no man saw coming. No man saw coming someone who we are going to look at was doing what Paul was doing, and God in Christ was kind to him the way he was kind to him. See, this is the, I have to change my way of me thinking how I'm supposed to dispense kindness if I'm going to allow God to teach me how it's supposed to be displayed in this dispensation. And it's so liberating. Which we have done, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That new creature, Paul totally disconnects himself from who he was to him being now this new individual, this new creature, this new man in Christ. But he's going to give all the glory to something appeared unto him. But after that, the kindness and love of God. What is it for something to appear? For something to appear, what is that? What is that? Something is made manifest. Something is revealed. Something has now come into sight. It is now visible. It is now noticeable. Now it can be recognized. Now it can be noticed. Paul said, this dispensation of the grace of God, this love and kindness of God, how would it appear to me? I'll bring it into notice for you. Peter can't bring it into notice. This world can't bring this type of kindness into notice. They can't say they was where I was when they was following, when they started to follow Christ. They can't say God approached them the way that he approached me in the midst of me being in opposition against the saints. They just can't say that. Just kept secret, due time, kindness, and love of God. We want to know just from the jump that it's apart from our works. God always had it in store, but he never revealed it. He never made it known until he revealed it to the Apostle Paul and not the 12 first. Come to Galatians chapter 1. Let's start at verse 10. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10 it reads, "For do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Stop. You know one of the things that we have to continue to drive in our minds? When we read the letters, Paul's books, Romans through Philemon, how much of that Paul wrote in those books did any of the 12 tell Paul to write in those books? 0%. Every attribute, everything that Paul says about God had everything to do with him and Jesus in that revelation that was given to him. It had everything to do with that. No one gave Paul any insight. None of the 12 gave him any insight on what to write and how to write it. Let's continue. Verse 13. "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Whew. I already know I'm going to have to write. I'm going to finish up this side. Then I'm going to have to connect that over here. You know why? Paul immediately in verse 13, you catch what he said? Paul says that beyond measure he did what? The church of God, huh? Do we understand what's being said right here? Beyond measure, Paul persecuted the church of God. So who is really Paul in opposition with, like flat out opposition with? God himself. And then he said he did what? Saints. What does that mean, wasted? Can we just come out and flat out say what it absolutely was? And we're going to go to other verses that absolutely state what it was. Killing, murdering, slaying. And then we're going to see a word that also says slaughter. You know what I encourage you to do? I encourage you sometime this week, get your concordance out, look up the word slaughter in your Bibles. It has to do with a great killing field. Blood, blood, blood. Paul was straight slaying individuals who believed what God desired for them to believe at that time. This is something. Now, once again, this is going to be a twofold teaching, because now I have to adjust my way of thinking about individuals, not just those who oppose me, but they oppose God, and God showed this kindness to them. How can I put limits on the reason I'm not going to be nice to her, the reason I'm not going to be nice to him, the reason I'm not going to be nice to them, because they look at me funny. They never say I do a good job. Do you understand the way that I know I was entrapped to this way of thinking at one time before? See, this kindness that appeared on the Paul, it is off the charts. It's even what 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, that listen, the preaching of the cross, to them that perish, is foolish. But to us who are saved, it's the power of God. Why is it so foolish? It's so foolish because it talks about there's not one good thing you have to do in order for you to be saved. Matter of fact, it doesn't just stop there. It continues to give us an understanding of you can be in opposition from God. We die from sun up to sun down, and He still offer you His kindness. I have to change my way of me thinking I know what kindness really is. Lord, I need you to help me. Now is the accepted time. What does that mean? There's nothing you can do to get in the way of God offering you with salvation. Can I let nothing mean nothing? There's nothing you can do. But how many times we give reasons for their works getting in our way of us being kind to them. You catch that? So in order for me to talk about what we need to put on, I first want to talk about what the extent that God to give it to us and how He offered it to us freely, and then grant us the permission to put it on. It's theirs, just put it on. It's theirs, just put it on. But no, I don't want you to miss that I had the same plan. Then I'm going to give you the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to show you someone who wreaked havoc against me, and I offered this to them. Ooh, let's not miss that. Amen, saints? What does it do? It really boasts about who God is. There's no one that can top the kindness of God. No, there isn't. He's not just the God of all comfort. He's the God of everything that's good, perfect. Of good of everything. He's no one that sees Him in kindness, gentleness, love, meekness. No one. And it appeared that it came into Paul's sight. Paul saw this. Paul noticed this thing. And Paul said, I'm going to get this thing down. Let's continue, saints. We are at verse 14. And profited in the Jews' religion above me, my equals in my own nation, being more zealous, being exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Watch God. But when it pleased God, who, and we're going to see, this kind of, that was part, separated. We're going to separate the kindness that was given to Paul in this study. You catch that? But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, he was separated. Paul was separated with not just a different audience, but with a different message. A different message of kindness. No one will talk about kindness, and we go see the way Paul talks about the kindness of God. No one can. Let's continue. Verse 16. To reveal His Son in me. Paul's not making this about what I changed. No, it's His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately, I confer not with flesh and blood. This is why I say, the way Paul preached this, can't nobody else come alongside. Paul didn't get, he didn't get any of this information from anybody. 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. Tell us what happened, Paul. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter in the ball within 15 days. Well, those other 3 years, what was you doing? What was you receiving? Who was sharing something with you? The revelation of Jesus Christ. That one-on-one contact. That's what else no one can say what Paul can say. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says that he went where? He went to the heavenly places. Heard and saw things that was inexpressible for man even speak on. No other writer of scripture can say they went there. Many of them can say they didn't have a vision. None of them can say they went there and wrote to write about it and still was living and walking about doing the work of God. This Paul's so special. Let's be careful that we don't pull away from how unique Paul's message and ministry is. Let's emphasize it. Amen. Let's emphasize this thing. Okay, continue with me. Come to us, and this is me trying to, I'm trying to work us up to this. I am with the Word of God, though. Psalms 119. I really want you to leave here and really be impacted. And I believe every time we share the Word of God, whether it's Pastor Scott, whether it's Pastor Reed, whether it's myself. I'm pretty sure every time we say open your Bibles and turn here and turn there, we're looking for the Word of God to have that impact, right? For the work affects me. Now, Psalms 119:161. This is what I want us to grasp. This is what I want us to be in this state. 119:161. the Word of God says, no, we are not in Paul's letters, but all Scripture is still given by inspiration of God, right? Amen. We go rightly divided. Be careful. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of what?
Thy word.
I just want us to be in awe of this, saints. I want us to be in awe. And what we want to remember, this is in time past when the writer of this most likely was David. Under the law, he was in awe of the word of God. How much more exceedingly abundantly should it be for us? Right? Okay, come with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. What is it to be in awe of something?
Absolutely.
Amazed, mesmerized, a high level of respect, astonished, wondering about it. You almost too much for you at one time, and you come back to it again and try to put your arms and your head and your mind around it. You are in awe of it. Luke chapter 6, let's start at verse 35, since. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. And it reads, beloved your enemies. This is Christ talking in time past under the prophecy program. Who are the key people? Israel. They are under a what? They are under a law. Meaning there's going to be a lot of things that they are told to do. We understand this. We embrace this. We don't let this go. And 35 reads, but love your enemies, and I hope I'm going to emphasize, do good. And land hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great in heaven. And ye shall be children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Okay, so we got the due time. And I'm just going to say kindness under the prophecy program. They were still told that God is kind. He extends his kindness to the who? Unthankful and the evil, right?
Yeah.
Unthankful and the evil. But while he's telling them this, I want us to look for, is it any assurance that they are still children of God? That nothing, you see, they're due, them doing, and then it says, shall, this is all circumstantial. This is all based on if they continue to do this, right? It's all based on if they continue to do. 36. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Let's stay in this chapter, but let's go down to forty-six. Let's go down to 46, okay? And it reads, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Did you catch that? And do not the things which I say. The emphasis is not on this do. The emphasis is not on what? It's not on believe on. Alright, so their kindness is still based on a circumstantial way of living, right? It's still based on a circumstantial way of living. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Luke 6:46. Awesome. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and what? Do of them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which building house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock, when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it because it was founded upon a rock. So even they're going, we understand for that rock to be Christ, right? But yet, that rock at that time, it still puts them under a law to constantly, over here, it appears to Paul, under this dispensation of grace, we just found out that what was Paul doing in Galatians 1? Beyond measure, he persecuted the church of God and wasted it. So they are told, you can't just hear, you have to. It didn't start at James. It didn't start with James 2. That's not where it started at. It didn't start here in Luke. It started way back in the Old Testament, right? It started way back when this law was presented to them, right? Let's continue. Watch 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was. So what shall come to them is totally linked to what they better do and better continue to do and better continue to do and better continue to do. Just based off what we just looked at and read so far, their understanding of kindness and the kindness that appeared unto Paul, is it the same? It's not the same right now, is it? Just right now it's not the same. Titus chapter 1, saints. Titus chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 1 in Titus chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which is after godliness. These sound words right here, saints. Listen. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Once again, we make reference to this being that due time, Paul says that it was committed unto him. Our passage, our reading passage, appears in Titus 3, we in Titus 1. Paul says about this kindness, watch verse 2, saints, which God that cannot lie promised when? Do you know when we talk about Paul's gospel, do you know I'm convinced that we have to train ourselves to not convince it. We have to separate it, but we have to not train ourselves to convince it, because it's so much things that the moment you believe, there's an invisible and eternal weight of glory that comes with those things that's freely given unto you the moment you believe it. The moment you believe it, I didn't know that I was complete in Christ the moment I believed that. I simply did not know that also the moment I believed that, he had this gospel, apart from any of my good works or bad works, apart from any of my works planned before the world began, and desired to extend his kindness to me with me being here after Paul. Paul being the first member of the body of Christ. I pointed to kindness and I pointed to kindness. What is kindness? How do you know you are kind? Define what kindness is. What is kindness? When someone is disposed to do good to others, they're disposed. It's just in them to get this out of them. It's in them. They don't have to work up and try to become this. Basically, what I want us to understand is who God is. Kind of just points to who He is. So many characteristics that point to who He is. You can't explain God without explaining His characteristics. You catch that? To make them happy by granting their requests. The unthankful and the evil can oppose God, and even in time past, He allows the rain to fall on their crops. He still allows some individuals in time past and even today to never believe in Him the entirety of their life and to see their great-great-grandchildren even live on this earth. To see some of their kids graduate from college and get married and die of just old age at 90-something. Kindness. Meaning, the recipient has nothing to do with who that individual is. God is just kind. This is what He is. He's not trying to learn how to become this. He's just being Himself. He's just being Himself. By granting their requests, supplying their wants, or assisting them in distress. And this is what's the big deal with Paul. Paul saw the kindness of God assist them in his ignorance and his distress and in his unbelief. Having tenderness of goodness of nature. We're going to see the tenderness and the goodness of the nature of God appear unto Paul. This dispensation of grace reveals that our shortcomings and our sins does not get in the way of what God predetermined before the world begins to extend to us. I just want to drive this home. And I know I'm driving it home. I'm being very repetitive, but that's what I do not want us to miss. Titus chapter 2 now. We was in chapter 1, chapter 2. Just verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to who? Wow. Let's think about this. For the grace of God that bringeth what? Don't stop. Not just the grace of God that brings kindness and kind to the unthankful and to the evil. And even in this dispensation of prophecy under that law program, yeah, the unthankful and the evil, He was still kind to. But the moment that they became proselytes or put themselves under as children of God, they immediately was under A. They immediately was told to continue to. Paul says this salvation that now appears unto man, what does it tell you to do to stay safe? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. What does it do to tell you to get saved? Believe that. What does it tell you to stay safe?
Nothing.
You catch that? You see that word appear in that verse again? Have appeared to all men. How did it appear to all men? Through who? Paul shared this. Paul expressed this. Paul exposed this. Come to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's start at verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who have enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Verse 12, Paul talks about God counting him faithful, pointing to the ministry. Look how graceful this is. You would think that right after you just got done talking about He put you into the ministry, you would think He would start to lay out some good traits about Himself. This is why He put me into the ministry, right? I'm on time, I'm reliable, I'm reasonable. Okay, here's His traits. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, that injurious, He put injury, slaughter, wasted the church, injuries. Look at His credentials, that this kindness, how we want to jump off the page. It just doesn't, I repeat, this is why the preaching of the cross is foolish. You mean to tell me the person that do this and do this and do that for people who's underprivileged, for people who don't got this, and people who don't got that, you mean to tell me they can't be saved if they don't believe that Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures? And it was buried and rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures? But the person that just blew this person up, the person that do this and doing that and taking and taking it, they can be saved by just believing that? Rydell, do you hear yourself? It's foolish to them. When you say that this gospel takes care of any worse, bad, disgusting, are you kidding me? It eradicates it all. That's seen as foolishness. But Paul even don't want us to lose sight about it. That's why he keeps reminding us of his shortcomings and what appeared unto him, not with him shaking his shortcomings off. Continuing. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Please hang on to verse 17 with in light of who Paul was. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You see how we wrap that up? I was the persecutor, I was the blasphemer, I was injurious, he counted me faithful, putting me into the industry. I am the first, I am the pattern, those shall hereafter follow. Now to the King eternal. He is amplifying this kindness. It doesn't add up with the sense that man thinks with, and it should leave us in awe. It should leave you in wonder. It should leave you in amazement. You should be astonished. And the part that's so beautiful to me is, before the world began, he had that thing. You really go see my character. You really go see what I really want for man and how simplistic I'm going to make it for them to be saved. I'm going to take all their sins, get them all out the way, and have them freely be able to come to me. Before the world began, I got this in mind. And then I'm going to put on display one who was opposing me in a way that no one else did in the Scriptures. I'm going to have you see what he did to those who were believing me and taking me at my word. And I'm going to offer them my grace. Come on. Never. And it could never blossom, lighten, and be that dynamite flow to express that kindness that God is showing. That kindness that God is showing. Let's continue. First Corinthians 2. We'll start at verse 6. You catch what the Word of God does? Paul's understanding of the fruit of the Spirit, and when he talks about the love of God, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the meekness, do you think that the 12 would describe it in the same way that Paul does? They, the attributes of God, they can't even describe the same way. You see, it's so big for us to understand the basics of our division. Mystery, prophecy, law, grace, earthly program, kingdom, heavenly program. Awesome. Gotta get that. But even when they talk about no program, but it's so connected to the program, it's just God and his characteristics, they can't even describe them the same. What'd you say, sir? Do you catch where I'm going with this? They don't know when you think. They won't describe God the same way. So individuals who don't know how to rightly divide, they can't even explain God and His attributes right. They can't do it. They can't talk about the kindness of God the way that Paul does. They can't do it. Peter can't do it, as we're going to see. They can't do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 6. Because we do it this way, saints. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? Mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. But I want us to see this. This before the world hidden wisdom, God said, unto our glory.
Yeah.
Do you know we have to learn how to glory in what even appeared unto Paul? Because what appeared unto Paul, Paul taught it, and it is now appeared unto us. Paul glories in reminding individuals what he was doing when God approached them in his kindness. That's totally opposite the way the church world, the so-called church world thinks today. I knew it was time to clean myself up. I was on my way to go out that Saturday night, and I just poured out, that brandy. I just turned it upside down in the sink. I said, I'm about to clean myself up. And at that moment, I heard a voice. Somebody know what I'm talking about. We heard those stories. We see those testimonials. That's ignorant. That's wrong. Sincere. For God ain't honoring. Because that's not what God is doing. That's not how He appears to man today. You got that right? Unto our glory. Let's continue. Unto our glory. 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Remember in Titus chapter 1? It said, God who cannot lie promised before the world began. This thing that finally appeared before Paul, the kindness of God, this is the thing that God wants us to glory in, and He said that what? He prepared them for them that loved Him. He prepared this for you. But 10, but God has revealed them unto us by His what? For the Spirit search of how many things? Yes, or yea, the deep things of God. No shallowness, this deep thing of God. This is a simplistic, but this is a deep lesson. The attributes of God, Peter and Paul would not describe them the same way. What makes you say that? Just this right here, watch this. 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit which is in him? Even so the things of God know of no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might what? Know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. It's the kindness of God under prophecy, and the kindness of God under this new time mystery. Would you consider them both spiritual things? The Word of God says, you know what you got to do now? Would you compare these? Would you compare these? And when you compare them, let me know if you say they're the same. Let's see if they really the same. Let's see if kindness under the law and the prophecy is it equivalent to my kindness under grace, under the hidden wisdom, under the mystery. See if it's the same. And that's exactly what we're doing. And even what we're doing right now, this is what the natural man will say about it. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are what deserved. Spiritually deserved. And Lord, I don't want you to miss 13. By which the Holy Ghost teacheth. The Holy Ghost instructs us to teach this way. The Holy Ghost instructs you to compare spiritual things with spiritual. You cannot rightly divide if you're not comparing time past with the blood now. If you're not comparing water baptism with a spiritual baptism. You can't do it. If you're a couple months, couple years ago, we compared how, I think it was Pastor Scott and Pastor Reed, how in Christ's earthly ministry, the way the kingdom sensed and Israel saw grace, and how we see grace in the dispensation of the grace of God. We don't even explain grace the same way. We don't explain grace the same way. We don't explain good works the same way. We don't explain salvation the same way. We don't explain glorification the same way. What makes us think we're going to explain the kindness of God the same way? We can't. Wow. It has me understanding so much about not even me, about how really kind and awesome God was before the world began. He was always after giving to man who didn't appreciate anything. He put on display, and in a way it's bad, he keep putting on display Paul's shortcomings just to continue to put on display his kindness. Paul, don't let nobody forget who you were. Paul, don't let nobody forget the state you was in when I approached you. Paul, don't let them forget. Don't let them forget. And Paul doesn't do it. Show me a man in Scripture that exposes their shortcomings more than Paul. For those of us in here, you already know you can't. You can't. You can't show me no one in Scripture that personally writes about their shortcomings the way Paul does. You can't. Acts chapter 9. That's the big deal of being sealed with the Holy Spirit, right? That's the big deal of being sealed, right? We sealed, so when we bring up our shortcomings, we're not concerned like, man, if I keep bringing that up, that might mean I'm not saved. Come on. Come on. Come on. How many sins have we forgiven? Oh, the more we understand our shortcomings and explain the shortcomings of those who we're trying to witness to, that they don't hinder what God is doing today, it really does give way to this kindness that we're talking about in this dispensation of the grace of God. We're just contrasting them. Watch Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And we go hop around, okay? For time's sake. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Watch this.
Threatenings, slaughter against who? Come on, say. You know what we got to do, right? You do know what we got to do to show this difference. Anybody remember in John? They are told that individuals will know that you love me by how you love your brother, right? Matter of fact, leave your gift at the altar, make peace with your brother, and then he's threatening and he's slaughtering the disciples of the Lord. And both of us know what's about to come. Christ is about to appear to him on the road to Damascus to continue to give threatenings and slaughters. Could they do this in this program and God still offer them salvation? Think about this. Could Peter slaughter John and still talk about, let's have communion now? I'm trying to make this like it. Do you catch what I'm saying? He is slaughtering the disciples of the Lord. Under the kingdom program, under prophecy, could they slaughter one another and still have this kindness of God to speak towards them? Do you understand? And in some ways, for the unsaved, for the natural man, that is foolish. Oh, but Paul can have it. See, this is the deal about being spiritual. The Holy Ghost will teach you why to compare and how to compare. He's going to help you see the difference of what it is to be under the dispensation of grace and the dispensation of the law. And in doing so, these two kindnesses of God, they are going to be so awestruck by it. Let's continue. Watch verse 2.
and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were a man or a woman, he might bring them bound unto where? He found anybody who is a disciple of the Lord. He's coming back to Jerusalem with me. And we already know what's his stance. We saw in Stephen, we know what's his stance. Renounce it or get it. Slaughter, right? Let's not act like all he wanted to do was talk. Watch verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, and it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Listen, did you read what Jesus said? You persecuting the disciples of the Lord, you threaten them, you slaughter them, and then he asks them a question. Why persecutest thou me? Do that sound like a tough guy that's trying to bring intimidation to Paul? Even the first thing that he said to Paul. Where is this like
so? Why persecutest thou me?
Does that sound like he's ready to bring war? Does it sound like he even his demeanor is like on some why persecutest thou me? Is this going to be his attitude? This going to be God's attitude when he come back for that 70th week of Daniel? Is this going to be his attitude under the prophecy program when he returns?
Saul, I persecute. I hope you don't miss that. I persecute is about me.
Watch the kindness. Now, once again, I don't want us to forget. What's the definition of someone to be kind?
Disposed to do good to others. Christ got doing good in mind towards Paul.
We know how the story is in Acts 9. He told he got good in mind.
Disposed to do good to others. Supplying their wants or assisting them in distress. Paul's going to be in distress. What happened? Paul is blinded. Christ tells Paul to do what? Go into the city. They'll be told what you must do. Assisting him in that distress, right? And I'm trying to, for the sake of time, I'm just giving us a heads up. Verse 6. And he trembled, astonished, Lord, what will thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told what thou must do. Does that sound like someone who is assisting Paul? And to be told what you must do, arise, get up, why persecutest thou me? Does it sound like he got tribulation in mind towards Paul up to this point? Doesn't sound like it at all, does it? Let's start at verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Rise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Watch the first thing to come out of Ananias' mouth. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Ananias does one thing and one thing that maybe I would have done. We all would have done the same thing. Yo, I heard this man, you know, he come to here, you know, lock us up to do this and to do that. I heard many bad things about him. What he had done to thy what? Saints. Meaning, nothing on this end, they didn't put really much down. Well, you understand, I'm going to. It's the law, it's to do it. The unthankful and the evil, but in order for them to be accepted by God in the prophecy program, they have to believe and do. And they can't come with all of these bad works wearing them like honor badges and everything. Like, you understand? And I was like, I just don't know, Lord. 14. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings
and the children of Israel. Do you?
It's certain things that should always sort of be like brand new in our life, no matter how many times we do it.
As we experience and see the state of the Word of God, that verse in verse 15, based off understanding Paul's history, understanding the prophecy program, especially if just up to the book of Acts at this point, if you haven't even read Romans through Philemon, just reading the Bible from Genesis up to Acts at this point, this should astonish you. This should astonish you.
You making havoc, threatening to slaughter the disciples of the Lord.
You killed them. You killed them. You're in pursuit of them. And now you are telling me that he is a chosen vessel once again. He's in this city to take us out.
He's the best one of you. Do you know why maybe we're not astonished by this? Because we understand Romans 3 Philemon.
We understand what hath appeared unto all men.
Understand in Ananias' mind, he don't know none of that. That hasn't appeared yet. He's a vessel.
He's a vessel. You've got Ananias. I'm wondering, is he shaking? I mean, he is obedient to the voice. He does it, but can that really make sense to Ananias at that time? Only sense it makes is, you said it, Lord, but when I calculate this with what is already written, what has not been written, he can't include, right? Still doesn't add up. Still doesn't add up. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Verse 21, still in chapter 9. Paul, now he is water baptized, he's moving about, he's going around. I want you to see how his works, how his bad works keep getting reminded. For all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? No matter where Paul go, what does everybody remember Paul for?
Persecution
the church. How bad he was. Do you know what? The book of Acts is a book of transition, right? As I read that book, I definitely gotta come to this chapter. Something is happening different. Something is happening different. The chapters prior, all we see is individuals repenting, acknowledging, doing good works. We see Stephen. Wow, I wonder if something happened at the stone of Stephen. Because now things just starting to get shifty. And that's what a transition is. It's shifty. There isn't a consistent flow. And yes, absolutely. 9:26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he aside to join himself to the disciples. Paul wanted to join himself to the disciples, but listen, same thing in verse 26. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Do you understand that all of this, now they can only, the 12, the individuals in Acts, as Paul rather started to flow, they can only say something strange, something not planned, or something. I don't know what it is. It appeared to Paul, though. Only Paul can explain what it is. I don't know what it is, but even all the saints in Jerusalem, everybody's afraid of Paul. I just don't believe you are who you say you are. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feareth God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Gave much what? Much alms. Got a question, saints. Who is that to the people? See, you got to hang on to that. The people. Who were the people of God under prophecy? Israel, the Jews, right? This ain't just keep going out, whoever needs something to Israel. What's my point? Do you see the difference of you are a careful reader? Just what you read in Acts 9 and what you read in Acts 10 shifts. Acts 9 is still with this individual named Saul, who just, the chapter started with him threatening, slaughtering, going to bound people up who were
Now you get to Acts chapter 10. It's totally this guy named Cornelius who gives alms to the people, much alms. And you're going to come to see Israel really respect this guy. They're not afraid of Cornelius the way that they're going to, the way they're afraid of Paul. Contrast them, right? You compare these things. For time's sake. 3. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, saying unto him, Cornelius. Let's look at what the angel said. Watch 4. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms have come up before a memorial unto God. These do things, the Gentiles who wanted to be accepted by God in the prophecy, did they have to do what Cornelius was doing? Those who bless will be blessed, Genesis 12. Cornelius is doing just that. Meaning, Cornelius is, he's doing things. God is approaching Cornelius on the strength of what Cornelius is doing. God approached Paul on the strength of what he was doing, but they was doing two different things, though. Two different things, meaning works and the law are still the issue in Acts 10, but it don't seem to be in Acts 9. You check one chapter over, and it's just shifting it, and that's Acts. That's Acts. 5. And now send man to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Time sake. Drop to verse 22. From verse 6 to verse 22, what was going on? Peter had a vision, right? And in his vision was what type of animals in his vision? For the sake of Israel and their law, right? Peter said, Christ says, eat, kill, and eat. Peter says, I never. Never have. What's going on now, that vision is an assistant for the sake of Gentiles, who Jews saw as unclean. God is going to send Peter to a Gentile who is unclean. Amen? Okay. Let's see. Verse 22 now. Verse 22. And they said, Cornelius. These are Cornelius' servants talking to Peter. And they say, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and a good report of all among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an angel to send for thee into the house and to hear words of thee. Do you catch the introduction that his servants give Peter? What is the introduction based on? Is it totally the opposite of how Paul writes about himself? All based off works, right? And is that necessary for them to say that to Peter at this time? So necessary. Because this kindness that we're talking about in Paul letters, this new time kindness, did that appear to Peter and Paul at the same time? Amen, sir? No. Drop to verse 30. And Cornelius said, now Peter is present. He's present. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, you see how the word of God is repetitive for the sake of knowing what Cornelius was doing? Thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are heard in the remembrance in the sight of God. Send there to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea, who when he's coming shall speak unto thee. This is the question that you want to have with your friends or with yourself or someone who may be saved but may not understand how to rightly divide the word of God. God is sending Peter to a different audience in Acts 10 than he had in Acts 2, than he had in Acts 3. In Acts 2, about every 6-7 verses, what do you remember Peter saying? Man of Israel. Now in Acts 10, it's a different audience, but what do we need to keep in mind? it's the exact same message that he said in Acts 2:1. Different audience, same message Peter has in mind. 33. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee that thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God? Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him.
He see that as God being kind. But he still see that God accepts those who fear him and those who do. This do is never eradicated in the prophecy program. In the ages to come in the prophecy program, the Holy Spirit will equip them to keep the law, because in order for them to receive their blessings and their promises, they have to continue to. They can never lay it aside. They can never lay it aside, which is why Peter, once again, different audience, same what? Same message. Peter not altering his message. Why? He wasn't told to. That's the only reason why. He wasn't told to. Continue. 36. The word of God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Please highlight this. Please have this underlined in your Bible. 37. That word I say. That word I say. Everything he's about to say is that word. Nothing new. Nothing kept secret. Watch this. Ye know which was published. That's a time word, saints. Past tense word, right? Which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Does this sound real similar to Acts chapter 2? Real similar. Just about word for word. Listen. 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly to all the people. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even unto us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Don't be fooled. That's not Peter sharing Paul's gospel to us Gentiles right there, is it?
Let's do it.
And he commanded unto us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, and through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Isn't that John chapter 20, last verse of John, verse 31, I want to say? That's exactly what they did in that program, right? In the prophecy program, they believed in the name of Jesus that he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He was the promised one to come. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard them, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Are they astonished because of the message that he preached, or because of the outcome? Because of the audience that was present.
The audience, and they received it before they were baptized too. Before they were water baptized.
Well, my question is, do we see that they received this kindness, or understood that the kindness that was given to Paul, do they see that was given to Cornelius at the time?
You see that God is doing something different now.
That's all they know. That's all they know. That's all they know. And did Peter in any way alter his message? Did he in any way, and as you continue to read it, he looked for them to be water baptized next? And then when you go to the next chapter, when Peter made it to Jerusalem, the saints in Jerusalem had problems with what happened there. Last portion of scripture, Romans chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Of Paul, of Cornelius would have been present in Rome, and Paul would have told him that. Him and Peter would have told him two different things.
Peter said, whoever feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of. You want to work in this age of grace, in this due time spirit, in this due time dispensation? You're in debt with God. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. When we look at Paul, we look at someone who was ungodly, we look at someone who was a blasphemer, we look at someone who was injurious against the disciples of the Lord, and God dispensed this kindness that really is amazing. And it really was kept secret before the world began. And it should leave us in awe, and I'm in awe of it. Next time I stand before you, we can look at how we need to put this on, how we need to be careful that what someone is doing or how we perceive them to be at us, with us, around us, towards us, it should have nothing to do with the kindness that we dispense towards them. Because God is not telling us to dispense us. He's telling them to dispense him to one another. And that should impact how we live our lives with saints, how we live our lives with friends, how we live our lives with loved ones. We should be seen as peculiar. And when we're not, let's not beat each other up and look down on each other. Let's assist and edify and build one another up. As God did with the Apostle Paul, as Paul did to the saints, to the letters he wrote with, may we learn how to do it with one another. Next time, saints, questions, comments. And go to the Lord.
You made a good point there about Paul and how he talks about what he's guilty of. It's almost like he's bragging about what he is and what he's got.
Come on.
Because if anybody else in the Bible, go back and look at, Psalm 51, David.
Strength of sin is what? So when sin is dealt with in this, and it is in this dispensation, the law is taken out of the way in this dispensation. What's in the way now? This kindness. Look, God, the preaching of the cross is not just standing in the way. It's what's up. It's what's up, and we have to drive that because that's what Paul is driving. Thank you, brother, for your comment. Anyone else? Question or comment? If not, yes, sister. Thank you. And when you continue, if we reread Acts 9, didn't they attempt to do just that at the end of Acts 9? Had to lower them in a basket, individuals is looking to slay them and kill them? Absolutely. And you said it, because of everything that points to the kindness of God under the law program, you got to go. Rejoice in the Lord. Saints, amen. Thank you, brother. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your peace. I say that constantly. Maybe say that continually, Lord, because that's the dispensation that we live in. Our apostle opens up his letters with me. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your peace. Because that's what is being extended to the world today. That's what we are to make known today. May we learn how to talk about this dispensation of grace and expose your grace, your mercy, your peace, your characteristics, your attributes. And as we learn how to expose them, we learn how to share them. We learn how to express them. May we be careful to study your word and to do that. And when we don't, there's no condemnation. We don't beat ourselves up. We don't beat others up. We simply get back in your word. We thank you. We thank you. And we put on Christ and live it out. Thank you in all things at all times. In Jesus' name. Amen.